Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 18th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. And today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Matthew and discuss the Word of Life for August. Please stay with us and we will be right back.
Hurricane Hannah was no Harvey, but still you may have suffered some damage to your personal property and could use a helping hand or two. Catholic Charities to the Rescue. They are ready and eager to connect people in need to available resources. If you have damage to your private property, please call 361-929-0987 and find out how Catholic Charities can help. Again, the number for post-Hannah property damage, 361-929-0987.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm fine, Barbara. We weathered a storm in the midst of everything else, but I'm fine, and I do pray that everyone out there that's listening is fine. I've been praying to send out a little tweet on Friday before the storm, offering my prayers and support, and we'll all go through this together. So I hope everyone else is well and didn't have too much damage or any kind of injuries. So God bless you all. We keep praying and supporting one another.
Absolutely. And we continue our social distancing and wearing masks.
Right here.
Right here.
I don't know. I didn't measure the table, but I guess you did. So we should be okay.
We're good. We're good. Well, as I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel this morning is from St. Matthew. So if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
So this is taken from the gospel of St. Matthew, beginning chapter 14, verse 13 and following. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds, so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, reading this gospel, you can understand how Jesus was so, I use the word distraught after hearing about the horrible death of John the Baptist, because John the Baptist fulfilled Jesus' mission so beautifully and from the very onset. And so you can see why he would want to get away.
Yeah, exactly. You actually picked up on the very first thing that I wanted to speak of as well, because, you know, all of us have a mission in life. And sometimes we've never defined it. We could say that. Sometimes we never define, well, what is my mission? What is my purpose here on earth? Get a job, get an education, get money, you know. But no, what is the underlying purpose that endures throughout my life? And I think that's what helps us understand the sentiments of Jesus, as you said in the beginning of this gospel. He had just heard of his cousin, we could say, John mm-hmm. the Baptist, the precursor, the one that prepared the way, the one that was continuing to prepare people for the announcement of Jesus. So he had just died, and you can imagine the heavy heart that Jesus himself had. But there were still crowds. There were throngs of people that were following him from different towns, unknown faces, but they were there. And so Jesus, I'm sure, thinks, yes, I'm tired. Yes, I'm sad, overwhelmed. But my mission comes out, follows through. So I think that's something that each one of us can kind of look at. Yes, there are moments even in the midst of the pandemic, even in the midst of a upcoming tropical storm. There's many things, and we can get so focused on these things, which are important, which are heavy, which are, I mean, imagine Jesus again, the death of one of his best friends, his cousin.
And an awful way to die.
And an awful way to die, an unjust way to die.
Exactly.
And in a sense, certainly something that's horrific. But he had a mission. And I think that speaks to many of our situations today, that, yes, there's injustice, there's things that have happened, there's horrible things, there's prejudice, but what's my mission? I think each one of us, whoever we are, needs to stop and ask, what is my purpose on earth? Is it to destroy? Is it to battle, to fight? Or is it to work for peace? Is it to do things on a positive note, to undo? Good will always win out. But when we multiply, as we look at this gospel today of multiplying the loaves, if we multiply the evil, if we multiply the sin, if we multiply the atrocities with our own atrocities, what good is that? I mean, what have we done? Nothing. We've contributed to the problem, not to the solution. And so Jesus is here in a very distraught kind of sentiment, and yet he wants to not bring people down, but he wants to bring people up. And so he stops and he gathers them. And the first thing he did was with pity, he cures the sick. He goes to those most in need. He goes out of himself. He goes out of his own problems. He goes out of his own personal sadness, sentiments, and he reaches out to other people. That's what we need today. Mm-hmm. And I say that to myself and to all of us, brothers and sisters. We don't need to keep multiplying the anger, multiplying the problems, multiplying the difficulties, multiplying the sins of the past. Yes, they are horrible sins of the past. But we live a new day. And that's what Jesus sees in the gospel today, in his own sadness, in his own, I'm sure, anger of the injustice of killing John the Baptist for no reason, but he saw a vast crowd in need. He didn't go stir them up. He went to cure the sick and to be with them.
And they knew, they could see him. There was something that I was reading when I was researching this, is that they said that the Sea of Galilee was so small that people saw him. Well,
Bishop,
I was at the Sea of Galilee, and when I read that, I thought, well, that looked pretty large to me. Might have been one portion of the Sea of Galilee.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, it's probably a cove. Like
yes.
If you look at the Bay of Corpus Christi, it's pretty large, but if you look across a certain channel, well, yeah, you can see him. So
you could see
it's perspective, but the way that they put it. But anyway, he did see the crowd, and his heart there was moved because they found something in him. And I think, again, today, sisters and brothers, we need to find something in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. What does he say to us? What is he saying to us? A good friend of mine asked me yesterday, what is God saying to us? And I just immediately came out and said, he's saying to us, listen to my son. You've stopped listening to my son. And they were a bit surprised by that. I think I was surprised that it came out of my mouth, but I think it's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. A few principles of the Word of God. Take the plank out of your own eye before you take the splinter out of your brother's. Forgive 70 times, seven times, even forgive your enemies. See the other as more important than yourself. All of these things are simple, simple, simple words, but what they could do to revolutionize our present situation. So let's look at the gospel. When he said, "Give me what you have," and he multiplied the loaves. There's been in many interpretations of this. Certainly, it's a sacramental moment in the sense that Jesus is there. Well, when his word is present in our lives, and when we can remember it and put it into practice, which is why we do the Word of Life every month. Right. It's not just some sweet, pious conversation. It is a word to be lived and to be taken to heart, put into practice to multiply goodness. As Jesus multiplied the loaves here, we can use that analogy to take his word, to live it out, and multiply goodness in life. Mm-hmm. And that is my exhortation in the midst of all this difficulty we're going through. Let's multiply goodness and not continue to live in anger, frustration, and destruction. That's below our dignity as a human person.
And I think, too, because I had an experience last weekend about it, we need to just be open to hear the Holy Spirit and God talking to us. You know, we may not have the solution, but something happens to us, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit gives us a solution of something we should try and do, and then you never know what goodness is going to come out of it.
Throughout the history of the people of God, you know, going through the desert, the Israelites, the coming into to the land of plenty, how many times along that journey did the prophets say, "You have closed your ears to my word, to God's word. You have stopped listening. You've taken up your own way. You've forgotten. You close your mind. You close your heart. You forget." Jesus Christ came to simply not destroy anything from the past. He said, "I did not come to destroy the law, but to bring it to fulfillment." What does that mean? I think this gospel today is simply that, to bring what we have, what we've been given, and make it even more, to multiply it, to bring it to a greater fruition. And so his words, his commandments, which are written in our hearts as well as on a tablet, but it's not a slavery to a tablet, but it is a living word in our hearts, saying, "Forgive 70 times, 70 times, turn the other cheek." But in a very strongly violent society, to hear the words, "turn the other cheek," is like absurd. Well, look at the many saints that have done that. And they're the ones that are remembered, not the ones that pick up arms. Mm-hmm. And so it is time for us to really begin to listen actively to the Word of God. And I would say, if you're going to stay tuned today, please do that, because the word for this month is very powerful for us to pick that up, and let's multiply goodness. I guess, actually, Barbara, I didn't intend to talk this way the first when I came in here today, but I think it's time we start talking honestly. Let's multiply goodness and stop multiplying anger. Let's stop multiplying judgment. Let's stop multiplying the gossip. Let's work for good and do our part simply by listening to the simple words of the Word made flesh, the incarnate Word, Jesus Christ. And I would say to any, if you don't believe in him, that's fine, but let's at least listen to what he says, because these are the words that come from God. These are anointed words for us. And this could change our situation and bring peace to a troubled world and society.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for August. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The term shalom is usually translated as peace. Often, however, when concepts are moved from one language to another, something is lost in the translation. Shalom encompasses much more than the absence of external conflict or internal turmoil. Shalom is the state of condition of experiencing what is needed to live a fully human life, one that is not wanting in any of those elements we consider essential to complete the development of one's personal potential and therefore the richness of community life. For the Sisters of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament, these essentials include a rich and invigorating relationship with the source of all that is good, the source of all life. With the opening of Shalom Place, the Spirit Center now offers two significant settings for encounters with this God who is love. The Spirit Center is available to groups of all faith traditions. For more information, visit BlunserSpiritCenter.org. To book your next retreat, call 361-888-7537. Till then, Shalom.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, thank you for saying everything that you said on the first part of the program. You know, the Holy Spirit was definitely working and guiding your words and having you speak from the heart.
Well, yeah, we just need to take it to heart. That's right, myself included. So.
Oh, my, me too, all of us. So our Focolare Word of Life for this month is a beautiful phrase from Romans chapter 8.
Yes, it is, and it's a very apropos sentence for all of us, and I'd like to complete it. It says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? And St. Paul also says, neither angels, principalities, the present or the future, no powers, no heights or depths, or any living creature is able to separate us from the love of God. Mm-hmm. Nothing except ourselves can separate us from the love of God. So let's keep that in mind as we read the Word of Life for August. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Paul's letter to the Romans is extraordinarily rich in content. It speaks of the power of the gospel in the lives of all those who welcome it, and of the revolutionary effect its message has. God's love sets us free. Paul has experienced this and wants to bear witness to it, both through his words and his actions. His faithfulness to God's call will lead him all the way to Rome, where he will give his life for the Lord. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shortly before this, Paul had affirmed, God is for us. For Paul, God's love for us is like the faithful love of a spouse who would never abandon his bride, a bride he has freely chosen and eternally bound himself to, for whom he has given his life. God is not a judge, but rather one who takes upon himself our defense. Therefore, nothing can separate us from God, encountered through Jesus, his beloved Son. To the love of God, there is no difficulty, large or small, within or around us, that is an insurmountable obstacle. In fact, Paul says that whoever puts their faith in God in such situations and entrusts themselves to him conquers all. In the world today, there are people of power who dominate with arrogance, whereas the gospel proposes active meekness and openness toward the ideas of others. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? A suggestion made by Focolare's founder, Kara Lubick, in August of 1987 may help us to put this phrase into practice. Quote, certainly we believe, or at least say we believe, in God's love, she wrote. Nevertheless, our faith is often not as courageous as it should be when faced with difficulties such as during times of illness or temptations. It is very easy to allow ourselves to be overcome with doubt. Does God really love me? However, we should not doubt. We should trustingly abandon ourselves to the Father's love without hesitation. We should overcome the darkness, emptiness that we may feel by embracing the cross, then do all we can to love God by doing His will and loving our neighbor. If we do this with Jesus, we will feel the strength and joy of the resurrection. We will experience for ourselves how true it is that Everything changes if we abandon ourselves to His love. Everything that is negative becomes positive. Death becomes the source of life, and a marvelous light will break through the shadows. End quote. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Even amid the darkness of war, by continuing to believe in God's love, glimmers of humanity can break through a tragic situation. Quote, here in the Balkans, our country has been caught up in an absurd armed conflict. Soldiers who had previously been on the front line were joining my squadron. They were often traumatized because they had witnessed the death of their relatives and friends. The only thing I could do was try to love them one by one. During the quieter moments, which were very rare, I used to talk to them about what they were feeling. Even though many of them were not religious believers, we even spoke about God. At one point, I suggested asking a priest to come and celebrate Mass. They all agreed, and some of them went to confession for the first time in 20 years. I feel I can say that God was with us.
Another wonderful line for us to reflect on this month. When you continue reading that phrase from Romans about who can separate us from God, it made me think about somebody who, some saying, and it said, I haven't been close to God lately. And the response was, well, who moved?
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've heard that before.
Yeah, I heard it's a guess who moved, guess who left.
Yes.
You know, I think that's part of our struggle today is power. And we think that power needs power, but we don't really understand in the Christian life, in those who do believe in the love of God, what is power? Power is meekness. Power is being peaceful. Power is being wise, calm. Because these things are disarming, but because this is God's way, humility. Jesus humbled himself. God humbled himself and became a human being. Jesus humbled himself by taking a piece of bread at the Passover and saying, this is my body. He humbled himself and died on a cross. And then God's power came out and raised him from the dead. What greater power is there than that? But the power was the complement to the humility. And we cannot put our brain around that. We don't have the courage in many cases to put our hearts around that and believe that. Somehow power has to be met with power, anger with anger, war with war. There's just this sense that the stronger we are, the better off we're going to be. And if we look at history, especially the history of the church, the history of the lives of many of the saints, and I just think of Mother Teresa very quickly and Kara Lubick herself here who writes these, whom I knew very well, it wasn't power at all. It was total humility. I know many, many times she was criticized by many forces within the church and beyond. And she never wavered because she believed in the love of God. That was her power. That was the power of Mother Teresa. That was the power of St. Paul, of St. Peter. That was the power of St. Francis. They believed in the love of God, and nothing could move them from that. And out of that was their wisdom to be able to confront the situations that were there, not with human power, of verbiage, anger, yelling, screaming, disarming a situation with the humility that God gives us, the strength that God gives us through humility. And I think that's really, especially in our present situation, that's our focus, that's our nucleus. Who can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing.
Except ourselves.
Except ourselves.
Well, there was a line in here that Paul says that whoever puts their faith in God in a situation that could be an insurmountable obstacle and entrust themselves to him conquers all.
Yes, right. Yeah. But because, you know, situations pass. I mean, we have to live through what we're living through, and it's horrific, and nobody's comfortable.
Right.
But it will pass. And when it passes, we have to then say, what's going to be left in me? Did I lose my soul in the midst of this? Did I lose my humanity? Did I lose my dignity? And if we do, then we've lost everything. But, you know, this particular phrase of St. Paul, who, you know, himself was enchained and eventually was crucified, was beheaded. Through all of that, he never lost what was central to his life, the love of God in Christ Jesus. So this is what you and I, we're all called to not join forces, but to really focus and anchor ourselves in the love of God.
Thank you, Bishop. Well, if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Draw near to your servants, O Lord, and answer their prayers with unceasing kindness, that for those who glory in you as their creator and guide, you may restore what you have created and keep safe what you have restored. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.